she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with your host, David Blessingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Boomer Sooner.
Snuggles.
Hey, Sybil.
Hey, Snuggles.
How are you?
He's messing with me.
They get along so well.
We love each other.
I know.
We really do. You can give us a call, 877-881-1053, or send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, you can and should call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. If you're in the market for a car, you can also go to AutoFlex.com, see all of our great pre-owned cars there, and the Save Money Monday specials. They're listed under Manager Specials. That was easy for me to say. Manager Specials, and you can find that at AutoFlex.com. Also, if you'd like to follow along on any of the stories we're doing online on the air today, or see some of the really cool videos, and I'll talk about them later, you can go to AutoFlex Facebook page and like us. We'd appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. But first, let's talk about America and American-made cars.
Which are getting rare as hen's teeth.
Mm.
Ford just signed a deal on their new contract, and one of the portions of the deal with the UAW was that the Taurus would probably be moved to China to build them there.
I didn't even know there was... I didn't know Taurus was still being made.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
And so what we're seeing when we see these new UAW contracts come out is the manufacturers are moving all of the car manufacturing out of the United States and either to China or to Mexico. Guess why? It's a lot cheaper to build a small car there. It's hardly cost effective to build a small car in America. Labor costs are high, material costs are high, and if you intend to export that car, you've got a tariff on that car. If it comes from America. If it comes from Mexico, you don't have the tariff. So that saves you about 10% right there, which is a lot. So what we're seeing, GM just announced also that they are going to import the Chinese-made Envision to the United States. So that's going to give them a third smaller SUV made in China and sold here.
So it's a GM Envision?
It's a Buick Envision.
Oh, okay. So weird. So people are going to buy a car thinking, this is an American brand. Made
exactly.
In China.
And that more and more. Well, you know, we've seen cars coming from Mexico a lot, and we've talked about it on the air. And manufacturers are spending billions of dollars to build assembly plants and stamping plants in Mexico because the quality is good and the cost of the vehicle is less. And you don't have to deal with that export tax. So it just makes sense from a business standpoint. Now, here's the thing. It may not make sense if you work for the UAW, because as they move these manufacturing jobs and vehicles offshore, there'll be less and less manufacturers of vehicles in the United States of cars. Now, they're keeping the larger, more profitable vehicles in the United States, and that's what they got the UAW to agree to. We're going to ship the car manufacturing out, but we're going to leave you with the truck, the van, the SUVs, where we make more money. We can still build those cars profitably in the United States.
I have a question. How do we get these American companies to do their manufacturing here?
Well, I don't know.
That's what I just keep hearing is they're doing it in Mexico. They're doing it in China. They're doing it overseas. You know, what can we do to maybe get some jobs going here in this country?
Again, the cost of the labor is higher here, much higher. And the cost of materials is higher because there's imports and export tariffs here, and then the cost of exporting those cars, because all of these manufacturers are becoming more and more international. They're shipping cars all over the world from all over the world. And if you have an import or export tariff like we have on a lot of vehicles to Europe and to Asia, it's just cheaper to build them in Mexico where you don't have that tariff. 10% of car is a ton of money.
Okay, but here's another point. They're getting fined millions of dollars for recall problems and this and that. Doesn't that seem like those millions and billions of dollars could be used instead to build the cars here?
I don't think they could find on purpose.
I know.
They don't plan on that.
If they have that money to pay, then it's coming from somewhere,
well,
which
but
means
it's
they can go into factory jobs here.
It's just cheaper to build a car somewhere else now. Mm-hmm. It is. So we've sort of put ourselves in this position. You know, everything from the chicken tax back in the 60s.
What's the chicken tax?
The chicken tax was where the originally Germany thought that we were selling chickens in Germany for less than they cost us to try to affect their market. So they taxed our chickens that were coming in. LBJ was in office. It was the 60s. He taxed their vehicles that were being brought into the United States as a result of the tax on the chickens. That's why it's called the chicken tax. Yeah. He was about to sign. The UAW had a contract coming up with the manufacturers, and they needed something to give the UAW to make them happy. And so they taxed German vehicles coming in, and that made the UAW happy. They felt like that protected manufacturing here, hence the chicken tax.
So take that, Germany.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm ignorant, but it just seems like the more people that are employed here, the more we could actually afford to pay if it was a little bit higher priced car, because there'd be so much money flowing through the economy.
Mm-hmm. I think
so much more money with all these employed people.
We need to get Donald Trump on the case, because he'll make sure nothing ever happens outside of this country.
I just want, you know, jobs here.
Yeah.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, what are you talking about? Honda's a Japan car, but parts and built in Tennessee. You sound like politics. Well, it's not. It's just the economies of building cars. And Honda builds cars in the United States because it's less expensive for them to build them like in Marysville or in Tennessee, rather than build them in the Asian area and worry about the difference in the yen and the dollar.
And the chicken tax.
Exactly, which can negatively affect them. So there's a lot of manufacturers that build cars in the United States for sale in the United States. And that's pretty key.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense.
And I don't think there's really a lot of politics. I think this is mostly economics.
Another Autoflex Leasing fan texter said, so these rich companies have to pay for their right to produce cars in America? Oh, no. What if we all had to pay taxes?
Oh, my God.
Oh, we do. And another Autoflex Leasing fan texter says, GM wants the money for themselves, not for us to have it.
Well, I think, you know, here's the thing. It's people lose sight of this. Companies are in business for one reason and one reason only, and that is to make profit. If they don't make profit, they don't exist. If they do make profit, they do exist. That's our system. If you don't let a company make profit, they will go away.
Right.
So
I want them to make a profit.
Yeah. So it's not really an us or them thing. It's just the cost of doing business, as they say.
And one more Autoflex Leasing fan texter on the same topic. He thinks it's going to become an issue over time. For example, he makes keys. He's a locksmith, and he needs to know where the car's built for programming issues. Cars built elsewhere have different ways of different programs and different keyways.
Exactly. By the way, if you don't have insurance that covers a replacement key for your car, and you've got a car that's been built in the last 5 years, you might think about it, because keys cost a couple of hundred to up to $500 a piece now. Because they all have chips in them.
Yikes.
Yeah, keys are no longer...
Your keys have chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The keyless entry keys.
Exactly.
They're no longer a baby toy. Seriously, you know how kids will lose your keys, put them in the trash can or flush them down that you don't know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't give your keys to your kids. Because also if they break, you know, if you drop those things and they break apart, that's mm-hmm. a whole issue.
But people give their cell phones and their iPads to their kids, and those are a few $100 too. I never get that either. I just don't get kids.
Maybe they have an OtterBox on their phone.
Maybe that's what it is.
Autoflex Leasing fan text, everyone should just buy a Tesla. I don't think that'll cure it. I don't. And we'll talk about Tesla later in the show, because they've got a big recall. But right now, let's talk about EV owners. There is a group of folks, companies in California that is getting together to build a lot more electric vehicle charging stations. You know, there's three reasons people don't get EVs. First of all, they cost a lot, so the price is high. Secondly, people have range anxiety. They worry whether they can get from point A to B and back without needing a charge, because you're stuck on the side of the road if you don't. And then finally, the lack of a readily available charging network, and that's the big thing. If you can't charge on your way to somewhere, it'd be like not having gas stations for your car. Same thing. So there are Nissan and BMW, a number of companies are getting together to build charging stations, and this is going to be mainly in California. because 90% of the EVs in the United States are in California. Why?
Because they get a tax break.
They get an additional $2,500 from the state on top of the $7,500 they get from the government, but they also get to use the HOV. And if you're on the 405, doesn't matter what time of day, that can save you an hour each way.
I don't know that an EV would work in DFW because everything here is so spread out.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I know people that have EVs. We have customers that have Teslas, mm-hmm. but they tend to live and work very closely together, and they just don't take their car if they're driving to Houston.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in California, there is going to be a lot of electric charging stations built. Here's the other thing they've come up with, and this is just brilliant. They've come up with a plug that's compatible with different cars that will go into the charging station plug. Here's why. Different EVs have different kinds of plugs. It's never been standardized. So they've got converter plugs, sort of like you would use in Europe if you're, you know, trying to convert to our electricity.
Right.
And those converter plugs are available or will be available at the charging stations. So whether you've got a Nissan Leaf or a Tesla, no matter what you're driving, you'll be able to use a plug that will be compatible with the charger.
That's good thinking.
Yeah.
I just saw that movie Vacation in the car, the remake of it, and the car that they have to drive is an EV. And when they whip out the plug, it's got like 15 different male parts. And so they didn't know where to ever charge it. But I have a good idea for, we talked about with EVs in California, especially people would drive up and if a car was already plugged in, they'd unplug it and plug their own in.
Oh, yeah.
They should have some kind of keypad where you enter like a locker code, like a temporary locker code.
Right.
And you are the only one who can enter that code to unplug the plug.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, I mean, on these chargers that they're talking about in California, it takes a credit card. You have to insert your credit card and let it charge X amount of dollars to your credit card to charge your car. They're not giving electricity away. So that may be sort of a limiting, it might limit the ability to unplug one car and plug in another, because once you unplug it, it probably shuts it down and waits for another credit card.
All right, we got to take a quick break and go charge up the battery. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number, if you want to give us a shout, maybe you're trying to decide between a couple different cars and you want some free expert advice, 877-881-1053. Or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan texts if you're not driving at 43733. And if you're in the market for a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, give Autoflex a call. They're open today, and the numbers are?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can see all our great pre-owned cars, look at the Save Money Monday specials under the Manager's tab, or you can find out what your trade's worth. Free of charge, you can get a Black Book appraisal from your friends at Autoflex Leasing at autoflex.com.
Mm-hmm. We were just talking about electric vehicles, and somebody texted in and said, so you can't just buy a generator and put it in the trunk of your car to charge it when you need to?
Well, I think, yeah, you can load the generator up with gasoline.
Right.
And you got to worry about the exhaust, of course, because if that goes into the car, then you get carbon monoxide problems. But I guess you could do that.
And then it would just weigh it down, though, so you're not getting the same, like, mileage out of it.
No, and that's one of the bigger problems with battery cars is the weight-to-power ratio is not great. And batteries tend to weigh an awful lot in order to be able to power a car. We'll talk a little bit about more of that later in the show because we have some other stories about that. Autoflex Leasing fan text, a true free economy would do wonders. The market is manipulated by oil monopolies. I love guys like this. Conspiracy theory guys.
Oh,
it's the oil companies.
Everybody has a theory, and I'm definitely paranoid.
So here's the deal. It's not just them, guys. It's everybody. Everybody's got a dog in the fight. Everybody tries to get their politician elected so their dog has an advantage in the fight. It's not just oil companies. It's
everybody.
Everybody. It's everybody. So let's talk for a moment, because we haven't in a few weeks intentionally, about the VW scandal, because it has just gotten a lot worse. First of all, VW admitted to putting a defeat software in their diesels, their 2.0 turbo diesels, so that they would pass EPA inspection and show to be clean running. And then as soon as they were unplugged, they produced about 40% more nitrous oxide that is allowed by the EPA. So they were real polluters. Now they've had to admit that the 3.0 diesels that they are using in Volkswagen, Porsche, and Audi also have the same software.
Uh-oh.
And so now it's a lot bigger scandal. So what's Volkswagen doing? Well, right now they've got $1,000 going back to anyone that owns one of those 2.0 turbo diesels that is trying to trade it in, a $500 dealer credit, a $500 Visa cash card. They're giving free roadside assistance for another 3 years. They're doing a lot of things to try to make up for putting those owners in a bad position. The other thing they're doing is they're giving dealers special allowances to take those cars in trade. So they're giving dealers allowances to make up the difference in what the car was worth before the scandal and what it's worth now, which could be a couple of $1,000 a car. The other thing they're doing is they're putting large rebates on their new cars that people might replace these Volkswagens with. In fact, they've doubled the rebates from a year ago on what they're doing to try to keep people into the Volkswagen family. So it's a big thing, and it's a bad thing. Here's the other thing. There's a stop sell on the 2.0 turbos, and now there's a stop sell on the 3.0 diesels. So what that means is a new car dealer can't sell those cars until a fix has been made on the car. What does that mean? It means they sit on their lot, and they cost them two things, money and space, and both of which are a commodity, a high-value commodity if you're a car dealer.
Yeah.
So it's really, really put Volkswagen dealers, which had nothing to do with this, they're great guys, it's put them in a bad position. And ladies, yes. It's put them in a really, really bad position. So we'll see what happens on the 3.0 diesel V6 and the 2.0 diesel turbo that that now they've admitted have defeat devices in them.
We've talked before about how, you know, the individual salespeople and dealers, they're on the way lower levels from knowing this was even going on. So
they had no power or control over that.
Yeah. So, but the people at the top who actually made the decisions, are they still in power? Like, what is their explanation for choosing to do this?
I'm sorry.
No. Okay. So the first story they came out with was it was three maverick scientists that work for Volkswagen, engineers that worked for Volkswagen that decided to do this.
It went rogue.
That's not washing too well. Of course, the president of Volkswagen stepped down. There have been a number of changes at the top. The one guy that has maintained his job is the president of Volkswagen North America, a fellow named Horn, and they love him. Everybody loves him. All the dealers love him. Supposed to be a great guy. The question is, did he know? That's going to be the question with everyone. Did he know? And no matter who they work for, in Volkswagen's hierarchy.
And the question, did he benefit?
Well, and I think
I'd like to see some chargebacks on somebody's income.
Here's the thing.
You know, there were bonuses paid over this nonsense.
Well, and there were, but here's the thing, and we talked about this a little bit a couple of weeks ago. The biggest cost of Volkswagen, okay, over the next 2 years, they figure it's going to cost them $26.8 billion. That's
wow.
B with a billion. And you wonder how they could afford that. Well, they're the largest manufacturer of cars in the world. So they've got a lot of money, but now they're looking at some serious problems because their stock has dropped radically. So now they're going out and borrowing money to make sure they can stay liquid and they don't have to go to a bank to borrow money after their credit rating has been dropped, because then the money costs a lot more than it would cost them now.
Stockholders, how are they feeling right about now?
Well, I don't know. I think they're probably not too happy about it. Here's the other thing. They have cut capital investments 8% in anticipation of these costs, which means like they were going to build a new Phaeton that was going to be an all-electric vehicle. They're probably going to close that plant where they were going to build that Phaeton in Wolfsburg. So it's a big, big thing, and it's going to negatively affect the stockholders and the employees of the dealers. And that's really the shame in the dealers, because it's not their fault.
Right.
You know, it's just they're caught up in the in the bad side of it. So it's going to be an expensive thing, and it's going to be an interesting thing to watch how it plays out. and how they survive this, and they will survive it, I think, but how they do survive it and what it looks like after the company is finished with it.
877-881-1053 is the number. Ed in North Dallas has a question for us. Good morning, Ed.
Hi. Yeah, my wife, it's our first lease ever. It's a 2013 Highlander. It's only got about 18,000 miles on it, and the lease is due up in June. So I think she wants to stick with another Highlander, but what are my options? What makes the most financial sense?
Well, it's according to how long you want to keep that car and what the residual value is, because it's according to, if the residual value is too high, you wouldn't want to keep the car. You'd want to turn it in and walk away, which is an option. You're driving very low miles, which is great because that saves you money on the next lease, and you keep the car in warranty. There's a lot of variables that play on a decision like this. The Highlander is, in my opinion, one of the better lease vehicles out there because they have really, really high resale value. So I would look at, if it were me and I was happy with it and I was happy with my terms, my monthly payment, I'd do another lease and turn the car in personally, because then you keep a car that's in warranty. And again, you get a low mile lease. You can save some money there. It's an easy transition.
But I want to add something about the residual value being too high, meaning the true market value of the car is low. If that's lower than the residual value, then that's not a good buy, if that makes sense. You don't want to pay more than you have to for that car. We might be able to find you a similar car for less money if you were going to go pre-owned.
Yeah, the other thing is we've got a killer program on that car.
Yeah.
We've got a killer lease on it. So at least give us a call. I mean, you know, it doesn't cost you anything, and you'll get some perspective then.
And not only is it a great lease vehicle because of the residual, it's just an all-around great vehicle, period. I love the exterior styling. Is really sporty, but the interior is just so spacious for a family, and I'm sure that's why you guys like it too, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Toyotas are just great cars.
They are.
Ed, when you hang up, dial this number, 972-234-1234, and they can help you out. Oh, well, all right then.
There
he was in a hurry to get call Autoflex. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053 or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And if you're out shopping for a car, what's the best number to call, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234. Out of the area is always autoflex.com, where you can go online and build any car you might be considering. Like our last caller that wanted the Highlander, he can go online and build a 16 Highlander. It'll come out just like the factory builds it. It gives him all the equipment packages, tells him what's in each package, so he can custom make his next car, send it to Autoflex, and we'll take care of the rest.
Easy as pie. An Autoflex Leasing fan texter says, what do you guys think? GMC Acadia or Nissan Pathfinder?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
I like both of them.
I do too.
I think it depends on the individual driver. And well, I can't say a negative thing about either one.
And how much room? One of them is a lot roomier inside.
I think the Acadia has
the Acadia is a lot roomier inside than the Pathfinder is. A Pathfinder is more of an SUV. It's got more of a truck ride. The Acadia has more of a car ride, so you've got a little different ride there.
You might throw in the Toyota Highlander, too, when you're looking.
Well, and the other thing is, if you're a camper or if you're a, you know, there's the differences in the cars beside the size and the ride are the accoutrements, the plug-ins and stuff, because there's some really cool stuff out there on these newer vehicles, and you want to compare those side by side to see if they fit your lifestyle, or if you got like three kids, little kids, to see if they fit your car seats.
Right.
That's a biggie.
One of the things we can do is have all those vehicles available for you to test drive. And then sometimes people, when you can't decide, it comes down to the money.
Yeah.
Right? So while you're there and you've driven them, if you weren't able to narrow it down to just one vehicle based on how it handles, then you could start working through the different types of financing and leasing programs that we could help you there at Autoflex at 558 South Central Expressway or 1001 West I-20.
That's right. And all it doesn't take long either.
Autoflex Leasing fan text. If my 2011 Dodge Journey gets a new motor installed at 100,000 30,000 miles. Does it affect the trade-in value? Okay, here's a shocker. Probably not. No, it's still going to be looked at as a car with 130,000 miles on it. And the fact that the engine has been replaced, if you're talking about a trade-in, is not really going to affect the value of the car, because when someone else buys that car, there's no guarantees that come with it. It's a 130,000-mile car. Now, if you sell it to an individual, you can probably ask more by telling the customer, telling the individual that the car has a new engine in it. But as a trade-in, it's probably not going to affect
the value. Doesn't have new struts and a new transmission and a new drive this, drive axle, a new that, you know, the electrical. It's just the engine. I mean, that's a pretty big deal, but it's not like everything's been rebuilt.
Right. Another AutoFlex Leasing fan texter says, is there a way to get a truck under $200 a month on a lease?
Maybe a small pre-owned lease, smaller, like a three-year-old pre-owned lease might do that for you.
Okay.
By golly.
So call AutoFlex and let them crunch the numbers for you.
Our last caller actually texted in one more question. One more question about my Highlander. How can I find the residual value? Do I need to dig up the old paperwork?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, that's the easiest way. Yeah. It's on your contract.
It is.
That's where it appears. If you got his car from us, it's also on a couple of other pieces of paper that of the paperwork. We list the residual value in several places.
Yes.
But yeah, dig up your contract. And then, or do I need to bring it to you guys? And yes, you do need to bring it to us. But that has nothing to do with the residual.
All right. So Road and Track comes out with their annual performance car, and this year they've named a new winner.
It is the Ford Mustang Shelby GT350R, which is sort of interesting in a way because it's not the car with the most horsepower, nor is it the car that costs the most. In fact, it cost about half what the other cars it was competing with cost. It's still not inexpensive, but it'll wind up to 8,250 RPM without redlining, which is crazy. And it's terribly, terribly, terribly powerful. Now, Road and Track compared these vehicles to determine a winner. The Bentley Continental GT3R, the Cadillac ATS-V Coupe, the Chevrolet Corvette Z06, the Dodge Viper ACR, Mercedes-Benz AMG GTS, wow, and the Porsche Cayman GT4. And finally, the biggie, the Ferrari 488 GTB. Now, the Ferrari was the most expensive of the group, at a little over $347,000, will you take an out-of-town check? Yeah. But they took all these cars, and they took them to the Corvette Museum, and they ran them on the test track there, and that's where they made their decision from. In the past, other cars that have won their performance car of the year have been the Porsche 911 GT3 and the Corvette in 2013.
So how much is this Ford?
It's going to run about $70,000, round figure.
For real?
Yeah, yeah.
And it beats these others?
Well, in Road and Track's view, it does.
It's a deal.
And there are people that say there are politics involved in some of that. I don't know. In fact, we've been getting a whole lot of fan text having to do with politics. And I don't want to talk about politics. I want to talk about cars. Everybody's got their opinions about politics. There you go.
It's got to be embarrassing if they're testing all these cars at the Corvette Museum Motorsports Park, and then the Corvette doesn't win. He's got to, like, drive away with his tail between his legs.
AutoFlex Leasing fan text, skip the Acadia and the Pathfinder, get an H1. Okay. I looked, we have an H1 that we're about to lease to a customer right now. It is 7 years old, and it is $79,000, which is an awful lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Awful lot of money. But anyway, if you want one, there you go. AutoFlex Leasing fan text, thoughts on the Ram 1500, the 2015. I think it doesn't matter what I think. Here's the thing. Drive the Ram, drive the Toyota, drive the Ford, drive the Chevrolet, drive them side by side. That's the best way to make a decision. The other thing is, go online and look at the user groups. See what the people that are driving that car right now say about its reliability, its drivability, all of that stuff. And you can do that really quickly online because people will spill their guts about a car online, I'm telling you.
Yes, indeed. Another AutoFlex Leasing fan texter says, I'm a college kid looking for my first car. Should I buy or lease?
Yeah, great question. You can do either. We find that a lot of younger people want short-term financial arrangements. They want to look at a 36-month lease.
Right. Or something.
Well,
even
they're planning to be able to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at their income today, and their projected income in the future. So I think they are getting into that first car knowing that they want more.
Yes.
So a lease makes sense then. However, to be very financially responsible, fiscally conservative, buy something pre-owned and drive it for 10 years. Finance it as short a term as you possibly can and then drive it payment-free for a long time. Those are really the two things. If you're going to purchase a car, don't buy brand new and don't trade it after 3 or 4 years because then you are basically leasing, but you're paying way too high of a payment without any of the benefits of leasing. You're exposed to the market values. You're exposed to these things like Volkswagen. God, for somebody who bought the Volkswagen versus leased the Volkswagen,
huge
I sure
difference.
Like to be in a lease right now.
That's a great point.
So that I could just turn it in and walk away and be done with it at the end. And any kind of thing that any of these factory or manufacturers go through, that'll protect you from that, as well as things like getting caught in a hailstorm or even having an accident diminishes the value of the car. So when you own it, you're exposing yourself to all of that. When you lease it, it's the bank's problem at the end. You just give it back. You carry insurance to fix it, but then when you get to the end of the term and the trade-in value is no longer as high as it would have been had it not ever been involved in a wreck or haven't been hail damaged on or been a Volkswagen caught in a cheating scandal. Ask Tiger Woods how about that.
There is, let me tell you.
Hey, he could be the new spokesperson for.
Yeah. We're going to talk about spokespeople in the last segment because there is a manufacturer that is shedding their spokesperson. Easy for me to say. Okay. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Do you think I can get a 2010 F-150 King Ranch for $400 a month on a lease? A 2010,
can't lease
I don't have a lease program on that. I think you can probably get a 2012 and stay around $400 a month. How about that?
But only for about 30 more days.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can't lease the 2012.
3 years is the oldest you can go back on those pre-owned leases.
Interesting fan texter here. He wants to know about leasing a high-end vehicle pre-owned for a reasonable price. A lot of people do that. I mean, if you want to drive a pre-owned car, I mean, if you want to drive a high-end car and you're willing to go back a year or two, you can save a ton of money on a pre-owned car lease or a flex buy, because we do flex buys on those also, which works just like a lease. You still can walk away at the end, but you actually own the car. So if you decide to buy it at the end, you do not have to pay sales tax again. There's long and short of all of these things. So it's just according to what your particular needs are and how you plan on using the car. By the way, the other side of buying a car and keeping it 10 years is you give up a lot of safety equipment, a lot of new developing stuff
that
might be really, really important to you in case you get into a bind.
The latest and greatest technology. But think about this right now. If you got a 2-year-old car that had things like the backup camera and the navigation system, and that's pretty much all you need anymore, gosh, we have smartphones, so to me, navigation in the car isn't even as big a deal as
right.
We've got that Waze app and everything else you can do. So, but the backup camera, right? Mm-hmm. And the Bluetooth so that you can
see
things through and talk hands-free if you need to.
And listen to your music.
And listen to your music, right. I think those are beneficial. Who knows what the future's going to bring, but I think if you can get something like that and if it feels like it's safe enough with all the airbags, and it's not a cheating, scandalous Volkswagen or Audi or something.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. I have a 2014 black F-150 crew cab with 23,000 miles I bought in May. I owe about $28,000 on it. Do you all take trades and can you roll me into a lease? How does that work? Okay, so here's how it works. You've got a 2014 F-150, 23,000 miles. We'll look at the value of the car on the open market in a wholesale situation. And that's what we'll allow you for the car. We'll lay that up against the $28,000 that you owe. And then you are wherever you are. We can certainly roll you into a lease. And we can take, if you have negative, and I don't know that you do, we can roll some of that into a lease according to how much the lender will advance on the lease. It's really not a hard process. Here's what I'd suggest. Call one of our offices and ask to speak to a leasing specialist and let him, give him the information. And he can get back to you and give you a whole lot of very specific stuff. You're in the 972 area code. I'm sorry, you're in the 214 area code. So it would be 972-234-1234. And one of our leasing specialists would be glad to help you now.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing with David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number is 877-881-1053, or you can AutoFlex Leasing fan text us at 43733, or you can call AutoFlex, and those numbers are...
either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234, out of the area, AutoFlex.com, where you can go online, build any car you might want to build, send it to us, and we'll be glad to build it in reality and get back with you. The other thing you can do is arrange a test drive online. A lot of people do this. If you want to drive two or three different vehicles, something like some of our texters have talked about, send us a message, set up a test drive, tell us what you want to drive. We'll have them sitting side by side for you. You can do a really, really good comparison. Bring the baby seats, bring the dog crates, bring whatever you're worried about fitting and working well. We'll do it and make sure that the new car is exactly what you need.
Mm-hmm. Lots of AutoFlex Leasing fan texters chiming in now. One guy asks, how did the ATS rank? I think he's talking about the Road and Track Performance Car of the Year.
The Shelby beat it.
And on
they
the
didn't.
Ford.
They didn't give a ranking on that.
Okay, they is just, that a Cadillac?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And along those lines, can I lease a Shelby?
We are already leasing Shelbys. We've leased a couple of them. They are awesome vehicles. They're big and muscular looking. And the first one we leased was to a lady, by the way.
Hey.
Yeah, it was a convertible. It was awesome. Yeah.
I'd like to get one of those GT350s and keep it about 25 years.
Is that a Mustang?
Yeah.
Cool.
Right? That's the one, the GT350R?
I get confused when it's all the numbers and the letters. And I need just a name. I need just Ford Mustang. That's what my brain works with.
AutoFlex Leasing Fantex, great question. What do you think about the 2015 Hyundai Genesis sedan? I think you need to look at depreciation tables. That car depreciates much more quickly than any other car in its range. It loses more value the first year than pretty well anything else in that class. Now, here's the other thing. If you lease the car, you don't really have to worry about that. Then you just try to get a really, really good lease price. So you don't have to worry about the resale. I personally would not recommend the car because of the depreciation unless you're in a good lease.
We talked about diesels earlier. This guy asks, is Nissan coming out with a diesel soon?
Yes. Nissan is working on diesels, and they're going to have a diesel truck on the market, I think, in 17.
I believe the fancy people call it Nissan.
Oh, for real?
No.
I'm such a sucker. You know, Dave and I were talking about this whole thing with Volkswagen, and he said, who's to say other manufacturers haven't cheated as well on the diesel?
Yeah. So, good
and
thinking.
And on their fuel. Well, because we have such stringent standards, right?
Yeah, we've got the most stringent standards. The EPA puts out the most stringent standards on tailpipe emissions in the world. So a lot of the cars that they could sell in Europe or in Asia or in Africa, they can't sell in the United States. Because it's like Volkswagen in Mexico. Mexico does not have the same standards that we do on cars. So these cars would be fine down there, but they don't meet EPA standards in the United States. There's a move on right now from the head of General Motors to get a standardized program worldwide so that the cars they build here can be sold in Europe, the cars they build in Europe can be sold here. So there's a big push for that right now, which means the EPA would have to change their standards in some way, not a lot, but in some ways, to make it where they could build worldwide cars and they could be sold in the United States as well as Asia and Africa and, you know, India.
Mm-hmm. Another AutoFlex Leasing fan texter at 43733 says, what are the rules on leasing and modifying the car audio?
Great question. So you can do anything that enhances the value of the car as far as resale value. If you raise it up, if you get a truck and you raise it up 4 inches, that does not enhance the resale value. That limits the resale market. If you add audio or video to the vehicle, as long as it enhances the value, you're going to be fine because nobody's going to care. The bank wants a car that they can resell for as much as possible at the end of the lease, or we do. So if it enhances the value, you're fine. If it doesn't enhance the value or it limits the resale market, then you have to switch it back to the factory equipment before you turn the car back in.
How does a person know, though? Because if they're making these, like if they're souping up their car, they think it's getting better.
You could call AutoFlex.
Hey.
Yes.
All right, then. How does your credit affect a lease, asks this guy.
Well, that's a great question, too. It generally takes better credit to lease a vehicle than it does to buy a vehicle. And when creditors see a lease on your bureau, they believe that you qualified you were qualified a little harder than if you'd gone in and just bought the vehicle.
Good to know. I drive 15 to 20,000 miles a year. I've always been fearful that a lease price estimate would be way too ridiculously high for a truck. Would buying something old and used be better?
6-1, half a dozen.
It really depends on your long-term goal and how long you will keep the vehicle. 15 to 20,000 miles is pretty average for most of the drivers around here.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean that you are using more of your vehicle than, say, a low mileage driver that drives 10 to 12,000 miles a year. Therefore, the depreciation schedule happens faster, which means your payment would be a little bit higher, but it keeps you from being upside down. Yes, you could buy an old used truck as long as you're, you know, if you could pay cash for that or finance it for a very short term so that you get the payments done and you're driving payment free, then that makes sense. But I wouldn't finance an older used truck for 5 or 6 years.
Right.
You know, especially not at the rate that you're driving, the 15 to 20,000 miles, because you'll be continuously upside down is the term they use in the
business
when you owe more than the vehicle's worth.
And here's the other thing. This is just absolutely, without a doubt, every time, make sure you build the miles into the lease.
Mm-hmm. And if you ever hear somebody say, oh, don't worry, you can go over.
Run. Run from those people because mileage does matter.
But right. Here's another option. You could also look at a pre-owned lease for that same truck and build in the miles, because sometimes we get in trades with very low miles. It would be worth calling one of our offices at 817-972-234-1234 to really compare what makes better sense. I feel like we call our team specialists, not salesmen, because they can consult with you about the best option. We have so many different financing products available for the numerous vehicles that we have on our lot and pre-owned, and of course access to all the brand new vehicles, all makes and models. So we consult with people and try to help them make a good decision, or try to help consult them. You know, it's their decision. We mm-hmm. don't want to make them when it comes to a car, because it's just not an investment.
Right.
It's a piece of equipment we all need to use.
Right. It's a depreciating piece of equipment. Mm-hmm. Okay, real quickly, a couple of other things we talked about earlier. If you own a model Tesla, if you own a Tesla Model S, it is recalled. They're recalling 90,000 Tesla S's worldwide.
What?
Because the seatbelt tensioner may not be attached to the car. A lady in England that was in the passenger seat turned to her left to speak to someone in the back seat, and the seatbelt simply released from the floor.
Oh, my God!
So they don't know that it's a problem. Nobody's been injured. But if you own a Tesla S, go online or go to Autoflex's Facebook page, and you can see all the contact information and how to get your Tesla S checked and repaired if they need to.
The S stands for seatbelt.
Might.
Another Autoflex Leasing fan texter says, what do you guys think about the 2015 Hyundai Genesis sedan?
No, I answered that one already. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one we talked about, the depreciation.
Got it.
Here's a good one, though. Do you have Aston Martins or Maseratis? Also, I have an M4 with 4,300 miles, but it has been on the track. Would that affect trade-in value?
Not unless you tell them about it.
Mm-hmm. We do not know your name.
And we lease Aston Martins and we lease Maseratis, so that's pretty easy.
We do everything.
Let's talk about spokespersons and having somebody who's kind of the face of your brand.
Well, real quickly, Autoflex Leasing Fantex, I think my buddy Trent Shepard works with y'all. Yes, he does. Trent's specialty is athletes. He's the guy that handles all the NBA and NFL players and works with them on getting their cars. He's got a great job. He has a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a good
one.
He's
a great guy.
This is an Autoflex Leasing Fantex. This question comes up a lot. What should I do if I'm over my miles on my lease? Should I buy the truck or trade it in early? I cannot believe how many people came to me, you know, oh, I should buy it. I should buy it because I'm over on the miles and I don't want to pay the penalty, until they met me, because I would do the math for them and say, okay, here's what the car's really worth.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what your mileage penalty is. Which one? It always turned out that I could get them a better deal by just taking care of the mileage penalty rather than them paying too much for their vehicle.
Yeah, because if you buy the vehicle and the miles are not, you got a lot of miles, it's not worth it.
Right.
You're actually paying too much for the vehicle, and you don't have to do that.
What they're afraid of is having to write a check, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there are ways that we can work that deal in so you don't have to write a check. So give us a call, for sure. 817-234-1234.
That's right.
Where's Charlie?
Charlie who?
Charlie Sheen. Where's Charlie? Because he's not in the new Fiat commercial that he was going to be in.
Oh.
Fiat has shelved the commercial for their new 124 Spyder that they had filmed with Charlie Sheen. And here's why. Charlie revealed this last week that he was HIV positive. And Fiat, the Spyder, the 124, they're aiming their ad campaign at young women. So he is no longer a good spokesperson for Fiat.
Isn't that discriminatory?
No.
To get rid of somebody for health reasons?
They didn't get rid of him for health reasons. They either hired him or it's marketing, and they didn't hire him. They're not going to hire him to do the ads that they planned on hiring him to do.
Wow.
So there's a lot of implications when you have different implications when you have a reveal like he did.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is if you've got a product that's supposed to appeal to younger women and your product spokesman has done something that might cause that not to be acceptable, then as a business, you got to make a business decision.
They could go back to J-Lo. Didn't she endorse it for a minute there?
They could, and she could. Yes.
I guess there's probably 5,000 women who wouldn't want that car.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All right. If we didn't get to your AutoFlex leasing fan text, you can still call AutoFlex. They're open today. Do you have a question, Tammy?
No.
Okay. It's 817 or 972-234-1234. Or you can go online to AutoFlex.com. We'll be back next Saturday morning with Big Fat Turkey Bellies. 9 a.m. Join us right here. Thank you to Snuggles. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.